Well, this morning, as mentioned already, we are taking a break from our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John, and the reason for doing so is really because I'm wanting to bring our members up to speed with an outreach opportunity that relates both to evangelism and discipleship. Now, as many of you know, and many of you will be aware, there has been a growing interest within our church in the area of biblical counseling. A growing area of interest is biblical counseling. Almost 6 years ago, we promoted and we ran the very first biblical counseling training course right here within our church, and it was provided by an organization called the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. The words that it's often known as ACBC, Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And so when I'm talking about ACBC, that's what we're talking about. And that 6 years ago, there were several people in our church that chose to take up that opportunity to have some foundational sort of training in the area of biblical counseling. A couple of years later, Pauline from our church, who all of you will know, well, she decided to pursue certification to become ACBC accredited. So this involves watching and going through a number of training videos. It also involves some reading from the required reading list. It also involves a number of different exam questions, open book exam questions, followed by 50 different hours of biblical counseling and supervised counseling. And as she was doing this, going through this certification process, in early 2021, we decided to run another foundations study in ACBC accreditation. And what happened is that we had 11 members in our church that decided to take up the opportunity. So this was an increase from several years prior. And it was really at that time, seeing that there was a buy-in here, seeing that there were members within our church that were going, I want to learn how to use the Word of God in such a way that can help other people. Well, at that time, we felt it would be a good move to try to do all that we could do in order to make that training process as easy as possible. And so what we did is that we purchased everything that was needed so that anyone else who may want to become certified or a certified biblical counselor within our church, well, they would have all the resource that they would need in order to do so. And so what we did is we had a look at the required reading, and we bought all of the books that are required on the required reading list, which are all part of that certification process. We put them inside of our lending library so the members in our church can take those, they can learn from those, and they can read through those. And in addition to this, we purchased all of the teaching and all of the observational video resources that would also be part of that biblical certification training process so that people would just have, with ease, be able to go through all the material without having to purchase their own copy. And so what we sought to do is that we sought to make the training process as easy as possible for anyone who desired to become a certified biblical counselor. And sure enough, in the 2 years which followed, that's 2022 and 2023, more and more people within our church, well, they continued to do the foundations counseling training. And out of that number, there's a number of people who began to pursue the whole thing. They began to pursue certification in biblical counseling. In fact, at this very particular time, right now, we have at least 9 of our members in our church who are currently pursuing certification to become biblical counselors. Now, I just want you to just take a step back for a moment, and I want to try to bring some perspective on what that number actually signifies. There is no other church within New Zealand at this particular time where this is actually happening to the same degree. I just want to say that. No other church where this is happening to the same degree. In fact, most churches don't have any certified biblical counselors, or if they are fortunate enough, maybe they have one. Whereas here at Redemption Church, not only do we have several of our members who are certified biblical counselors right now, but by the end of next year, Lord willing, well, it's likely that we could have 8 to 10 of them right here in our very own church. And so I think it's very important for us, as we take a step back, to recognize that What's happening within our church right now when it comes to counseling, this is certainly not the norm. In fact, it's incredibly unique. Now, in many ways, biblical counseling is really the fruit of a church which is functioning biblically. It's the fruit of that. When a church is biblically ordered, and when a church is built upon and sustained upon a regular diet of expository preaching, coupled with believers who are progressing in sanctification, well, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that the believers within that ministry, that they're going to have a growing desire to take the truth of God's word and to help other people with it. In fact, I was recently speaking with the founder of the Biblical Counseling Association of New Zealand. He holds a PhD in biblical counseling, so perhaps maybe the highest qualified person in New Zealand when it comes to biblical counseling. And what he said to me is that if we want to recover the practice of biblical counseling in New Zealand, the church must first recover the priority of expository preaching. Very interesting. He said that expository preaching helps to open up the Word of God so that people can understand it, so that as people begin to understand the Word of God, they then, over time, they're not merely satisfied with pursuing learning and pursuing growth for their own good, but over time, there also becomes somewhat of a desire to take that which they are learning, that which they are knowing from the Scriptures, and to do the same and to help others with it. And sure enough, when we look at those open book exams through the ACBC certification, half of those exams relate to theology. That's half of them. What the Bible teaches. And what's more, for anyone who has sat under our expository preaching ministry here at Redemption Church for 2-3 years or so, you would have virtually been taught enough theology to answer virtually every question in the theology exams. Now, of course, as we think about the number of people within Redemption who are currently being trained as biblical counselors, it's not going to become long or too long before, well, it's going to become somewhat of an overkill for the counseling needs of our own church. I mean, how many counselors can you have with a number of this size? And in addition to this, with the number of people completing that certification process, there has now become a need to better organize ourselves and to start taking somewhat of a coordinated approach when it comes to counseling within our church. If there's one or two counselors within the church, well, they can kind of talk back and forth to one another and organize things as and when they need to. But then when you start getting 8 or 9 or 10 biblical counselors, well, we need to organize and coordinate ourselves just a little bit better than what we are doing. And really, this is where the outreach opportunity, this is where it really comes into the picture. An outreach opportunity for both evangelism and discipleship. And so in addition to prioritizing the counseling needs of our own members here at Redemption Church, as we are doing, well, it does feel that we are now entering into a season where we can now start looking outwardly to the counseling needs outside of our church. And before I kind of explain what this counseling outreach opportunity looks like a little bit more practically, I just want to spend a little bit of time now to explain the theology which undergirds it. The theology which undergirds this counseling outreach opportunity that's before us. And that really brings us to the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 3, because in 1 Timothy chapter 3, after Paul talks through how it is that the local church is to be ordered, he spends several chapters doing that. This is how the local church should be ordered. I want us to listen and see how it is that the Apostle Paul actually describes the local church in verses 14 and 15. He says, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Now notice firstly there, in verse 15, notice that Paul refers to the local church firstly there as the house of God. Now maybe we've heard of this before, come to the house of God. which he says is the church of the living God. So maybe we've heard of the church, the local church being referred to as the church of the living God. But then notice at the end of verse 15 that Paul refers to the church in a quite an interesting kind of way. He refers to the local church as being the pillar and the ground of the truth. You might be asking yourself the question, what does that even mean? The local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, firstly, in ancient architecture, the pillar was the supporting structure. It was the supporting structure that held a building up, especially the roof. Pillars were also used to display and to elevate something, so whatever it was trying to support or elevate or display, it could be seen by all. By Paul referring to the church as a pillar, what Paul is doing is he's emphasizing the church's role in upholding, supporting, and making visible the truth of God's word. The church is to lift up the truth so that the world can see it by proclaiming that truth and making that truth known. So that's the pillar of the truth. But secondly, notice there in that passage, in addition to the church being the pillar of the truth, notice that Paul also says it refers to the church as being the ground of the truth. The ground, or the foundation as it can be translated, it refers to the base. It refers to the support upon which something rests. And in this context, it tells us that the church is the solid foundation that is to provide stability and provide support for the truth. Just as a building is secure when it rests upon a strong foundation, well, the truth is to be upheld and sustained by the church. And so as we think about this description that Paul gives concerning the local church, I think there are at least four implications that we can draw from this description of the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. The first implication is that the church is to defend the truth. That's the first implication. The church is to defend the truth. In a world where false teaching and false ideologies abound, the church is called to defend the truth. This means that we stand firm against heresy, we correct error, and we provide clear and accurate representation of the Word of God. But secondly, in addition to defending the truth, the church is also called to live out the truth. The way that believers live should reflect the truth that they are upholding. The way that believers live should reflect the truth as they are a testimony to the world of the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's a second implication of the church being the pillar and the ground of the truth. But thirdly, in addition to living out the truth, the church is called to be a custodian of the truth. The church is entrusted with the truth of God's word, and it's entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are custodians of it, meaning that the truth must be kept well. It cannot be altered. It's our responsibility to make sure that it is not compromised, that the truth must be protected. We must protect it. We must teach it. We must pass it on faithfully to others. But then fourthly, in addition to being a custodian of the truth, the church is called to proclaim the truth. This is a fourth implication. The church is responsible for proclaiming the truth to the world, which of course, it involves evangelism, that is, bringing the truth to those who do not know Christ, but it also involves discipleship, teaching believers to understand that truth and living according to that truth. Now, as we think about people's lives in the world around us today, we know that there is no shortage of hurt. We know that there's no shortage of suffering. We know there's no shortage of pain. There's no shortage of confusion and guilt. There's no shortage of shame in the lives of those who live within our culture today. Much of what comes is the result of sin and as the result of a life that's lived apart from God. There's no shortage of marriage struggles, no shortage of parenting struggles, no shortage of sexual sin, no shortage of emotional struggles such as depression, anger, fear, anxiety. There's no shortage of things such as addiction, financial issues, eating disorders, strained relationships with others, and post-abortion remorse, to name a few. Now here's the question for us. In a world which is full of hurt and difficulty, where can people turn to find healing and hope? In a world which is burdened by pain and struggles, where can people go to find comfort, to find restoration? Well, many times people tend to turn to secular psychology, which is nothing more than a bucket full of holes. When the counsel is being given, when the counsel is being poured in, it gives somewhat of an impression that you're making progress. The bucket of my life seems to be filling. But then after the counseling stops, those secular man-made ideas, they drain out the bottom of one's life, leaving the person feeling empty and leaving them feeling basically where they began when they first started. So some people will look to secular psychology. Others will look to try to find this healing and hope through Christian counseling, which oftentimes when you hear that term Christian counseling, it's nothing more than secular psychology, meaning man's ideas mixed in with Christ's name added to it. It's what we call an integrationalist approach, taking the world's ideas, taking God's ideas found in the Bible, and trying to integrate them, trying to mix those two together. But as we know, nowhere in Scripture does God say that he will bring healing and he will bring hope through the secular, humanistic ideas of man, even if the word Christian is added at the beginning of that title. So again, I ask the question, in a world that is full of hurt and full of difficulty, where is it that people can turn to find healing and hope? Well, according to Scripture, people will only find true healing and true hope in God himself. And the way that God has chosen to reveal himself is how? He's chosen to reveal himself through his word, through the Scriptures. And so the question must then be asked, well, where do people go to find the truth of God's word? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, they should go to the church. They should go to the pillar and to the ground of the truth. People should go to the people of God who God has given to them the responsibility as custodians to defend, to proclaim his word, to teach and to minister his word into the lives of other people. As believers, God has purposed for us to be somewhat of a kingdom of priests in the sense that we are his ministers of the truth within this world in which we live. And so think about this. When we see all of the pain that's going on in the world around us, when we see all of the hurt that is in the world around us, when we see all the struggles that people are experiencing in the world around us, it's not enough for us as believers to say, someone ought to really do something about that. It's not enough for us to say that. We can't just look at the state of this world and the state of people's lives and say, someone ought to really do something about that, because in reality, God has purposed for us as believers to be the means that he uses to bring the truth to those people so that they can experience healing, so that they experience hope, so they can experience restoration. Think about this. God has not given that responsibility to anyone else in the world. He has given that responsibility to us, the church. That's our job. That's what God has purposed for the local church to be about. And if you need any more convincing, we only need to look to the Great Commission that Jesus has given to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus gives to us the work of the church and summarized form. He spells out clearly for us what activity the church should be giving herself to. He says in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The emphasis of the Great Commission here in Matthew 28 are the words, "make disciples." That is the emphasis of those verses. We are to make disciples. We are meant to make followers and worshippers of God. Now, of course, the entry point for this is that they must hear and they must understand the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can respond positively to it. While we can't change a human heart, we as the church have the responsibility to be the mouthpiece, to be that pillar and ground in which we communicate the truth. And then God is the one who changes the heart. And so evangelism is one part of the work of the church. It is one part of the Great Commission. But equally, the work of the church is to teach those disciples all that Christ has commanded in his word. And so that is not talking about evangelism, that is talking about discipleship. In other words, the work of the church is to make disciples, and then we are to disciple disciples so that they would eventually become worshippers of God, followers of Christ by the grace of God. My friends, this is the work of the church. This is the work of the pillar and the ground of the truth. And by the way, this is the theology here which undergirds this counseling outreach opportunity that we're currently seeking God's will about at this present time. And so with the theology which undergirds it, let's now turn our attention back to the counseling opportunity, that outreach opportunity itself. Let's give our thoughts to, well, what is this opportunity? What is this counseling outreach opportunity all about? Well, in light of the fact that there is a growing number of people within our church who are being trained in biblical counseling, in light of the fact that there is a world that's full of hurt and full of pain with people struggling all around us with the issues of life, and in light of the fact that the church is called to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, and in light of the fact that the church's primary work is to be both evangelism and discipleship, well, it feels to us that the time has now come for Redemption Church to start a center. And not just any kind of center, but a biblical counseling center. To start an outreach from our church where believers who are equipped with the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, can minister the truth into the lives of those who desperately need it. Now, just one point of clarification at this point. When we talk about a biblical counseling center, when we talk about a center, this is not referring to a building, it's not referring to a geographical location, but instead, when we talk about the center, we are talking about a body of people. It's referring to us here as the members of Redemption Church. You are the center. I am the center. We are that center. Because at the end of the day, what people need most in their time of need is not just some building to go to, but what people really need is those who can point them to Christ and to the truth of his word. And in case you're wondering, a name has been given. A name has been chosen for this biblical counseling center. It is to be called Hope Counseling Center. Hope Counseling Center, the only one like it in New Zealand. It's a place where people can find hope. Hope in Christ, hope in the gospel, hope in the scriptures. Now, at this point, you might be asking yourself, how on earth are people going to find out about Hope Counseling Center? Where are people going to come from? Well, really, they're going to be coming to Hope Counseling Center, coming to the body of believers who can offer them hope and help in their time of need. They're really going to be coming in two main ways. Firstly, people will hear about Hope Counseling Center through word of mouth. That means that they'll hear it from fellow church members when we're out and about in our day-to-day lives. They might hear about it from others who we're rubbing shoulders with and saying, hey, there is a church who has a working knowledge of the Word of God, and there are people within that church that can help you with the difficulties that you're going through. And so firstly, it would be word of mouth. But secondly, a second way that people will find out about Hope Counseling Center is through a website. A website which has been developed, a website which is almost complete, a website which is almost ready to go live. After all, when people are looking for anything these days, where do they go to? They tend to go to online, and they tend to go to a website, and they go and they search for whatever it is that they might be looking for. And so when people search counseling, when they search for counseling in Christchurch, one of the things that they're going to see that pops up on their screen is Hope Counseling Center. Another question you might be having is coming to mind at this particular time is, well, what is this process going to look like? Okay, so you have the word of mouth, you have someone on a website looking and seeing that the church can offer hope and help. What is that process going to involve for a person who's wanting to receive help from Hope Counseling Center? Well, when a person is seeking counseling, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go online, and online there are application forms that are available on the website, and as soon as a person submits the details and the required details, that form gets sent through to us. And once we've had an opportunity to review that request, we then forward that request onto one of our counselors, and they're going to make contact with that person, and they're going to organize a suitable date, a suitable time, and a suitable location in order to meet with that person. And if there ever becomes a time where we have more requests for counseling than we actually have our counselors, well, we're simply going to be putting them on a waiting list, letting them know there's a waiting list. We have to pop you on a waiting list. But at the same time, if that time ever comes, we'll let our church members here know that, friends, there is a need that's here. And so we need to be thinking about this and seriously thinking about doing what we need to do to prepare ourselves to meet this need. We're trusting that God will raise up the necessary laborers to meet whatever the need might be. Now, some people have asked the question, will counseling be for unbelievers as well as believers? Or is it just exclusively for believers? Is it just for Christians, or is it for Christians and non-Christians? Well, the answer to that question is yes. It's going to be offered to both. It's going to be offered to Christians and to non-Christians. In saying this, we're not going to be concealing the fact that the counseling that we offer is biblical counseling, and that the counseling that we're offering is in connection with our church. Yet if there is a non-Christian person who has tried everything else, hasn't really worked out without getting the help that they need, and if that non-Christian person is prepared and willing to meet with us, we're not going to turn them away. We're going to open them and welcome them with open arms. And in saying this, counseling for the unbeliever, this is not seen as discipleship. We're discipling this person right now. No. Counseling for the non-Christian is not discipleship, but instead it's more so an opportunity for evangelism. After all, we are not going to hide the fact that in order for a person to find true restoration for the problems that they face, that person must find, firstly, true restoration in their relationship with God, which is offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If a person is unwilling to receive Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, well, there's only so far that we can go with that person in terms of counseling. However, if there's an opportunity to share the gospel with a person who's struggling with the issues of life, letting them know that there's hope in Christ, hope through the gospel, we certainly want to take that opportunity. It's interesting that when talking to several people who have started biblical counseling centers as outreaches from their church over in the States, it's really interesting that they've said that most of the baptisms that come within their church have come as the result of people who have really gone through and have come to the church through their biblical counseling outreach. It's interesting. I'm not saying that God is going to necessarily work in that exact same way within our church, but I think it's very, very interesting that in many churches that have started a biblical counseling center outreach, well, what they have is that many people that are coming to faith, it's coming through that particular outreach. Our hope, though, is that unbelievers that God may be bringing to us, bringing to our church, well, our hope is that they'll already recognize that they're sick, that they'll already recognize that they're spiritually sick and in need of the great physician who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, at this point, you might be asking yourself, well, why is biblical counseling being offered to Christians or believers outside of our church, given that they should be able to find help within their own churches? Why the need for offering counseling to believers? Well, getting the help that you need in your own church, it's a nice ideal, but it's not always the case. In fact, there are many church-going believers today who, when they're honest, they are unable to get the biblical counsel that they need from their own local church. And if this is ever the case, if we get requests for counseling from Christians outside of our church, well, we want to be open to that. We certainly want to involve the leaders of their church. It's not going to be done apart from the leaders of their church. In fact, we're willing to offer their leaders on-the-job training so that they can know how they can counsel their own members in the future. But we do want to make very, very clear that if a Christian comes to us wanting biblical counsel, that we recognize that we're supplementing or helping the local church, helping the elder and the pastors of that church, because they are the ones that have the biblical responsibility for caring for those people's souls. And so we're coming along and we're supporting, we're not trying to overtake that which God has ordained within the church. And then, of course, there's going to be other instances, and many of you will know people who are professing believers, but they're just not part of a local church. They're just not members of a local church. And if that is the case and they're wanting to receive counseling from those within our church, well, we would then require them to attend here at Redemption Church for the duration of their counseling and that counseling taking place. We know that the reason for this, why the church, why must a person be plugged into a local church while counseling's taking place? Well, we know that the help that people need in this journey of life, it's going to take more than just one person counseling, but instead, biblically speaking, it's going to take the collective effort of the body as a whole. Now, another question that often people have been asking is, well, is there going to be a charge? Is there going to be a cost in order for people to receive this biblical counsel? Well, the answer to that question is no. There most certainly will not be. We want people to know that hope in the gospel, finding hope for the issues that they're facing within the scriptures. We want them to know that it's a free gift without them needing to pay anything financially for it. In saying this, we should be able to keep those costs down. Again, we don't have some massive building. We don't have paid staff. We've got a team of volunteers who are going through and doing the training and offering the training itself. And so really the costs are very, very minimal for running an outreach like this. They really come down to providing counseling booklets, providing counseling books, counseling resources, and if possible, if funds allow, we want to continue to be able to help with some of the ongoing training costs of those who are volunteering their time as biblical counselors. We're trusting, though, that where God guides, He most will certainly provide. God is faithful always, and we know that God is always taking care of the needs within our church here at Redemption Church, and we believe, no doubt, that He will continue to do so. Now, at this point, there may be some of you asking the question, saying, well, Jason, this kind of sounds like a little bit of a big undertaking for a smaller church like Redemption. Is there any outside help? Is there any outside support that's available for if and when we need it? Well, what I can say is that the decision to seek God's will about a biblical counseling center, it's not something that our church has done in isolation. We haven't just gone away in a little holy huddle, thought about it, and come up with an idea and say, let's go for it. But instead, we have support both nationally and internationally from various biblical counseling organizations. For instance, the New Zealand Biblical Counseling Association, right here in New Zealand, they know what we're doing. They're in full support of Hope Counseling Center. They're happy for us to affiliate ourselves with them, and they said they're there to help us and support us in any way that they can. We also have support from a number of leaders in ACBC over in the States, right behind us. They want to see this thing succeed. They want to support us in any way that they can. We've made connections with ACBC counseling centers that are run out of churches. So we're not reinventing the wheel here. You know, there are places over in the States that are already doing this kind of thing, and they've been incredibly helpful to us so far, assisting us with the certain processes, assisting us with putting together the required forms, talking us through some of the legalities of doing something like this. What this means is that if we ever find ourselves in a place of need, if we ever find ourselves in a place of needing help ourselves or counsel or assistance from outside of ourselves, outside of our church, well, it's kind of comforting to know that we have support from the largest biblical counseling organizations in the world, along with individual counselors who are the most experienced in the world within this kind of ministry. We have their support. They said, we're behind you there in New Zealand. And what's kind of interesting is that Hope Counseling Center will be the very first biblical counseling center here in New Zealand that's been run as an outreach from a local church. The very first one. We're part of the something new. And so as we're thinking about what we're doing here with Hope Counseling Center, it's good for us to really recognize that this is very much a pioneering work. There's no other church, there's no other ministry who's established a biblical counseling center right here in New Zealand. And so the hope, both nationally and internationally, with those who support us, with those who know about Hope Counseling Center, well, they do hope that this is going to be the first of many, many centers that will start as outreaches from the church across our nation. Because again, this is the work of the church. This is not just talking about a side ministry here. Taking the Word of God to a hurting community, to a hurting society, that is the work of the church. That is the work of the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so it's our responsibility to take that truth and to minister that truth to those in our localities. Now, at this point, it's probably worth us just noting that this idea of Hope Counseling Center, this is certainly not something that's been fueled by human ambition. In other words, we don't feel like we need to prove anything. We don't feel like we're needing to try to make something happen. We don't feel like we need to try to prop something up. That's not what this is about. But instead, all we're doing is that we're simply organizing ourselves so that if the opportunity to help others outside of our church arises, well, our church is going to be in a place to meet those needs. And if there's no one outside of our church that is seeking counsel at all, what are we going to do? Well, we haven't lost anything. We're just going to continue doing what we always do. We'll continue being the church. Yet at the same time, we want to be preparing ourselves so that if God was to bring people our way, which, by the way, can I just say that this is not like, hey, let's experiment and see if there's any need out there. Can I just say that there's been a growing need over the last number of years that members from our church are actually counseling people from outside of our church and from other churches even now? And can I just say that there has been people coming to faith through the counselors within our church who have been sharing with those who are outside of our church? And so it's not like we're kind of an experiment to see, I wonder if there's a need out there. Why don't we test it by creating a center? We know the need is out there. It is already there. People are already asking for help, and they have been over the last number of years, increasingly over the last number of years. So when we're talking about the Hope Counseling Center, all we're doing is we're just preparing ourselves. We're going, Lord, if you are going to bring any more people our way, which you have started to do already, we don't want to be scrambling around. We don't want to be at a loss of what to do. But instead, we as a church want to be ready to meet the need. And I say this up front, that this counseling outreach, it's very much a venture of faith. Because what we're doing is that we're simply saying to God, here we are, Lord. Here we are. If you want to use us in this way, we are willing and we are ready. When we think about it, a biblical counseling center from our church, you might be thinking of in your own seat right now, a biblical counseling center from our church, it just feels like the right fit. It feels like the right fit for our church. After all, it's impossible for a local church to be all things to all people. You know, some churches have different focuses. Some churches do really well in focusing on running a food bank. There are other churches that do really well at running mums and toddlers, you know, groups throughout the week, which is great. There's some churches do really well at running after-school programs, running camps, running, you know, soup kitchens. Whereas here at Redemption Church, we now have the center. We have a body of believers who love the Word of God, who are growing in the Word of God, who already have an outward focus on outreach, who already have a heart for helping other people, and who have members within the church who are able to rightly handle and divide the word of truth so that it can be helpful in the lives of other people. Now, before we bring things to a word of close, of prayer, I just want to kind of just very briefly now, just give us a where to from here. What happens from this point forward? Well, firstly, we're going to be working on the finishing touches of this website, which is almost ready to go. And once that's done, we're going to be sending that link out first to the members of our church so you can take a look at that. You can sort of give feedback of that to see, well, what do you think? Are there any improvements that's kind of needed? But then in addition to the website, secondly, there are a couple of us who are going to be heading over to the ACBC annual conference. It's happening over in Fort Worth in Texas. That's going to be happening in October. So there's several of us that are going over there. And the reason that we're going over there is really to network with other people who are currently running biblical counseling centers and to glean as much wisdom, to glean as much support as possible that we can bring, and hopefully it'll be helpful for us here at Hope Counseling Center. But also we want to use the opportunity of going over to really purchase as many biblical counseling booklets and books and resources as we can so that we're all stocked up on that front. If any of you have to buy resources from overseas, you'll know how expensive the shipping costs are. And so we're going to be bringing empty suitcases, knowing that it's a lot cheaper, far cheaper to bring an empty suitcase and heap that thing up and bring several of them and hopefully, God willing, bring back resources. We do ask for prayer at the moment because we are praying for somewhat of a seed fund that's needed in order to purchase all the resources that we need and booklets that we need just to give us a real good start. We already have many booklets already and many books and resources already, but this is just to help to build that up for us again, so we're in preparation for if people need help. Now, the third thing, so yes, we have the website that's coming. Some of us are going over to the States. Thirdly, over this next season, what we're going to be doing as a church is that we're actually going to be running specific training for our church members in the area of biblical counseling. So we're going to be running that. We're going to be running some things of how can we as a church be functioning more and more so that we can take the word of God and help others with the issues of life. And it doesn't mean that everyone's got to become a certified counselor. That's not even necessary. But even still, if you have the Spirit of God and if you have a working knowledge of the word of God, well, in a sense, you are equipped to counsel people and counsel the people of God, even if it's in those day-to-day conversations that you may be having with others. And as mentioned already, a person in need requires more than just one person. A person in need requires more than just one counselor or one individual. But instead, what they really need, they need the help of the entire body, which each person is doing their part as they're working together with others, working together as a whole. And so that's really where we're going to from here. We ask that you'll be prayerful, that you'll be thinking about what your part is to play within this. Many of you are already active. Many of you are already aware. Many of you are actually doing this already. And so we have a website coming. We're going to get some support from overseas. And we're also going to be doing training here for the members of our church in this specific area as well. Now, in order to bring this time to a close, we're going to be finishing with a word of prayer. And what I'm going to be doing, I'm just going to invite up a number of people who are either certified biblical counselors or who are currently in that process at the moment, because I've invited them to actually doing the praying for us. So they're going to come forward and they're going to be praying for specific points concerning Hope Counseling Center. So for those who know, you know who you are, why don't you come forward now, and we're just going to close, and let's just come together and at this time as we close in a word of prayer. So these are representative of some who are currently either certified or becoming certified biblical counselors in that process right here at the moment. And so we thank you for your efforts so far. We thank you for the ways that you've been studying, the ways that you've been preparing. There are some who are not here right now who would also be part of this group, but I'm just going to start with Toma, and they'll just pass down the line for those who are praying. So let's just commit this to the Lord in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we just take this time to lift up to you some of the practical elements of getting this center underway. We think of the website. We thank you for the work that Mark has done in that. And we just pray that you would give him the strength and the wisdom to finish that off. We think of the forms that he's been putting together, and those would be clear and just be so inviting as well. And we think also of drafting all the policies and some of the procedures that we're thinking of, that you would give wisdom and clarity in drafting those. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Lord, we also lift up to you the conference that's coming up. We thank you for the opportunity for some members of our church to go and be a part of that. Lord, I just pray for safe travels. I pray for good networking. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them to speak to the right people, to encourage them in the right areas to help the centres get started in Christchurch. And Father, we just pray that you would bless that time. We pray it would be fruitful. And we pray that you would just help them to absorb all the information that's going to be helpful for this next season.
Yes, Lord, we also just want to lift up those who are currently in training, Father. We ask that you continue to give them the love for your word and seeing how your word works in people's lives. Father, we also just pray for perseverance as they journey on this journey, Father. We also ask not that your word just works in their own heart and their own lives as they pursue this training, Lord, and that it can flow out into the lives of their families and their friends and so many more people that you'll bring to them. So we thank you for these people who are keen and wanting and who are pursuing this certification, and we just ask that you continue to be with them during this time.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to lead our fellowship to reach those in our community who are suffering and hurting with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Lord, we know that ours is a sin-sick world, shackled and blinded by the evil one. Many in our local community live hellish lives, struggling with addictions, depression and anxiety, broken relationships, and children abandoned by their parents, just to name a few. We recognize that some of us were in their ranks prior to being saved. Praise you, Lord, for your grace to us. Lord God, we praise you that you say in your word, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I, Jesus, have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the great physician, calling broken sinners home to be reconciled to God through your great love and sacrifice on the cross, offering forgiveness, hope, and restoration to lives. Please prepare us and help us to gain a reputation for being a people of compassion, tender-hearted, and ready with the counsel from your word, speaking the truth in love, and sharing your gospel message and developing discipling relationships with the newborn babes that you add to us in Christ. Amen.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are our ultimate provider, Lord. We pray for provision over resources, Lord, that we will be able to sow the seeds that need to be sown, Lord. We know that the soil is fertile out there, Lord, and we pray that you'd be able to provide a place for these resources, Lord, but also a place to meet where counsellees and counsellors, Lord, can delve into your word, Lord, and reach those that are hurt and broken and lost, Lord.
Father, I pray that you will prepare us for this new ministry. May we be ready and willing for this new season. Give us the strength, boldness, and endurance we need as we enter into this new ministry of the church. Prepare our hearts. Create a love and care for those who are lost and need of you and your truth. May we be willing to use the gifts you have given us in order to reach out to those who come. Give us the humility to remember that we are in as much need of you as those who come. Father, we are all in different seasons of our lives. Please give us the wisdom to be able to discern what role we may be able to play within the means and ability that you have given us.
Lord, we are indeed so humbled that you would use broken people like us, Lord, to minister to other broken people, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful of your gospel, your love that you've entrusted towards us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to use us as your servants to continue to do your work of ministry, Lord. Thank you.
And Father, we pray for the local churches around New Zealand, for churches around the world, Lord. And we pray that we would be able to teach and role model other church members who are in their churches. Lord, we recognize that previous decades, Lord, the church has failed to do what it's been commanded, and that's been to evangelize and disciple those in their churches. Father, we pray that they would catch this vision. This is not a unique vision. It's not a unique goal, Lord. It is what the church has been commanded to do. And Father, our desire is not to steal Christians from other churches, but rather to teach those leaders in those churches, Father, that aren't providing counseling, Lord, let alone expository preaching. Now we pray, Father, that there would be a revival in not just teaching your word, but seeing how sufficient it is to address the issues, Lord, that are just growing and growing in number. So may we be a light, Lord, and may we be the ground and the pillar of truth, as your word says, Lord. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.